بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I keep mentioning this and I keep saying this, but then everything to do in our life, in our lives, is to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All our acts of worship, be they fard, be they wajib, be they sunnati muqaddah, sunnati ghair muqaddah, be they mustahab, be they mandub, be they from the nawafil, all acts of worship ultimately are performed and done and fulfilled to better our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that there is an obligation upon us to fulfill the obligation. The important thing here is safeguarding that relationship, securing that relationship, protecting that relationship, not allowing anything to enter into that relationship that is going to upset the balance of equilibrium that is supposed to keep a balance in this relationship. If you have a scale, that can weigh things, when you pack your suitcase and you've booked a ticket and you go to the airport, no matter how carefully you've packed your bag at home and you've got a makeshift scale and weighed your suitcase just to make sure, that on this journey of yours there isn't any form of rejection. So you may pack your suitcase with all the things you want and any extra bits, and you've weighed it at home. That's what we do, don't we? Even if you've got there's these new airlines, Wizz Airline or upside down airlines, Allah knows best, where they don't allow, where you have a very cheap ticket, £40, £50, £60, and you can fly, to Portugal, to Spain, to other parts of the world, very cheap tickets. But you don't get a lot with that ticket. And the only luggage allowance you have is a very small, like, that can hardly hold much and has to weigh a certain amount, like no more than 7 kilos, I think. So be it even in that instance, or be it if you've paid for a first class ticket, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 pounds, with all first-class treatment that you're going to get, but your luggage allowance will be a certain amount. So what do you do on that journey, on that trip? You're very careful. You make sure everything is measured and weighed. And then when you arrive at the airport and you need to do the check-in, what do? You're still wary. You're still cautious. You're looking at the scale that is weighing your suitcase. And when the numbers go up and down and you begin to think, where is this number going to stop? Don't you? That's what happens. Or if you bake a cake and your ingredients need to be of a certain measurement and weight, and you have a kitchen scale and you weigh it, what are you going to do? You're going to make sure it's that the scale is bang on, not a milli ahead, not a milli behind. It is to that extent that we look at our measurements in detail. We're so wary of it. And all our instruments of measurement are extremely sensitive. They pick up the slightest wrong. If it's over, that's a wrong. If it's less, it's still a wrong. Your device, your instrument, will tell you exactly how much you have. And if it is in accordance to the measurement that you're looking for, then you'll feel happy, then you understand, then you feel comfortable about it. If it's over, you don't know what's going to happen to your cake. If it's less, you still don't know what's going to happen to your cake. In this ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْتَنْزُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لَغَدْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, watch what you're doing. There is a certain element of sensitivity that is required in maintaining and developing this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing us to do through the month of Ramadan. And so therefore, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And to make acquiring this sifat, this quality easier, and again, I'm going to go back and repeat this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed so many things, taken away so many things from this month, added so many things, decorated Jannah, closed the doors of Jahannam, changed Shaitan, multiplied the reward for deeds so many times, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this act of worship of fasting, wherein only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and is going to give us the reward for. And then furthermore, with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added that your preoccupation in this month should be the Quran-e-Kareem. Recite as much as you want the Quran-e-Kareem. And you will get a reward for it. The Qurra on the day of Qiyamah, they will be told, recite the Quran and climb. They climb the stages to Jannah. There are so many virtues for reciting the Quran Kareem. If we start to talk about this, then I won't have time to express, and hopefully I'm trying to deliver a message. The message is very simple. The message is very simple. On day one, I could have said, develop taqwa, make sure you don't upset this balance, and done, I'm gone. But as humans, the way we are wired, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done the wiring in us. This wiring has been done in such a way that it needs to be looked after. Looking after it meaning feeding it in the right way. When negative goes to negative and positive goes to positive, if you mix them up, there's going to be a what? You're going to blow a fuse. Or you're going to get a short circuit. And then what's going to happen? System failure. No? For those of you that like to look at the screen day in, day out, you get the blue screen of death. And now you get so worried, something's wrong with my computer, I've got the blue screen of death, my computer is dead now. No, you get blue screen of death, don't you? I call it the blue screen of death. I may have heard that somewhere, Allah knows best. So you're very wary. And at the beginning of this etikaf, I used a word. What was that word? Recalibrate. Over these past months, we get worn out, we get lazy, we get clustered, we get bogged down, we pick up on the way a lot of dirt. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from us? At clean, brand, spanking, new at the end of the month of Ramadan. That's how you say it, don't you? When you go to the showroom and you buy a car and you just come out of the showroom driving this beautiful car and you're not careful, bang. As soon as you come, it's happened. There's people that have gone to the showroom, they bought a car, and as soon as they came out, they were so happy. Accident, complete write-off of a brand new car. Are you going to be that brand new car that gets written off after Eid? What? I know it's after Fajr, and you probably haven't slept, and maybe just half an hour. And are you tired? Really? You're tired? If you're tired, I'm exhausted. I'm doing the talking. Why do we turn the light off? So if you do fall asleep, I don't notice you're sleeping. And that doesn't mean you go to sleep. So what do we want to do? If we have a device, or if we have an instrument, that baker who wants to bake the cake will make sure that individual's scale is working properly. Even though that individual may have used the scale again and again and knows it's working properly, but what will they do? They'll go away, get something that weighs a certain amount, they know it weighs that much, they'll put it on, and they will weigh it just to make sure that the scale is still working properly. Even after using it so many times. Why? Because you know there's a possibility that having used it so many times, there's wear and tear taking place, and maybe it needs recalibrating. So we recalibrate our scale in the month of Ramadan. So that at the end of the month of Ramadan, we begin to perform properly. Inshallah. Inshallah. This is why we optimize our acts of worship in the month of Ramadan. I don't know this language I'm using. Maybe the engineers and the boffs, they understand this. I'm sure everybody does. What's the purpose behind it? What's the whole idea? It's very easy. Have a healthy relationship with Allah. Very easy. So that scale is very sensitive. Anything off, either this way or that way, it'll tell you and indicate to you that, listen, mate, you're going off. Your cake isn't going to turn out proper. There's not enough sugar in there, so it's going to, people are going to put it in the mouth and then spit it out and say, what's this? It's just some dough. Or if it's too sweet, if there's too much sugar, the scale is going to tell you that's too much sugar. Same thing happens with our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can't undercut it, we can't overdo it. Somebody gets very zealous and they say, you know what, I'm going to read Zohar namaz today, but I'm going to read 5 rakats. Because I'm feeling extra pious today. What's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to do? He's just going to give you a kick and say, where are you coming from? Who said you can do 5? Stick to your 4. Or if somebody on certain days feeling lazy and says, you know, I need to do 4 rakats, but I'll just do 3 and then do salah. There is a balance that needs to be kept. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayat. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad wattaqullah. At the surface of this ayat, it seems, you know, just, have you done your namaz? Have you done your recitation of Quran? No, it goes a lot further than that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sandwiched everything between the 2 taqwas. One taqwa at the beginning, another taqwa at the end. When you're sending your deed, how did you begin your deed? Is the intention of sincerity? And then through your deed, how did you perform your deed? Were you concentrating? Were you not concentrating? Were you paying attention? Were you not paying attention? And how did you end your deed? Did you say, Rabbana taqabbal minna, to end your deed? So not only the zahiri aspect, but then also the batini. When you were doing these acts of worship, were you doing it to show off? Were you doing it to... So this is where the sensitivity comes in. And the example I gave yesterday of in a relationship, we're all sensitive with each other. If somebody says a word, they don't really mean to harm, but you misinterpret and misunderstand that word, you get offended. Just like that. Sometimes that even breaks up relationships. How much more careful and cautious should we be in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, one example I gave you yesterday. What was that Maulana's name? Maulana? Maulana Qalandar. A sathi of Hazrat Maulana Imdadullah Muhajir Makki. Rahmatullahi alayhi. So what did he do? He just got upset and he slapped an individual. But that individual was special in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of him, of his being from the family of the Prophet. So an ability which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted him with, he was a sahibi huzuri, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it away. And I said yesterday, there are individuals whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this gift to. Imam Muhammad al-Shazli, rahmatullah alayh, Allah had given him this gift to. Every day he would see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream. Every day. And then on occasion when there was some a miss in it, immediately he would turn to Allah seeking repentance and thinking he's done something very greatly wrong. So when it comes to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in certain ways there is an element of sensitivity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very sensitive. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain sifat, and the one sifat that I used is samadiyat, the samadiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the mushriks to carry on the way they are, allows the kuffar to carry on the way they are. So one example I gave you yesterday, and that is, if you want to call it from the Sharia point of view, it's from Hukukul Ibad. So I want to give you another example that involves Hukukullah. And this is where we come in with the story of Sheikh Abu Abdullah Undulusi Rahmatullah Alayhi, a great alim and a Sufi Sheikh from Iraq. And I introduced him yesterday to you, a master of 30,000 ahadith, a master of the recitation of the Quran Kareem. He was a Sab'a Qari, maybe Ashara Qari. And he had many murids and disciples, and at any one time he would have 12,000 people attending his dars. Very well recognized individual. On one occasion they were traveling, and Hazrat Shibli Rahmatullah Alayhi has actually himself narrated this incident. And who is Hazrat Shibli? Subhanallah. He's a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one whom, when somebody used to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'd put his hand in the pocket, take a sweet out and put the sweet in their mouth. Somebody asked him, why do you do that? He said, he's taking the most sweetest name, why shouldn't I sweeten his tongue when he sweetened me? How much love must he have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he is a murid of Sheikh Abu Abdullah Undulusi. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi is the murid of... Also the story of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi is quite interesting. I've just mentioned a Sayyid, so here is another incident. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi physically was big, and he was a wrestler. He was a what? You know, please don't go start thinking about, is it, what was it? WWW something, what? Seriously, don't go there. Don't go there. You see, your people's capacity is very limited to what is you, how you're indoctrinated by the environment that you live in. Immediately we start thinking of wrestlers, these commercial wrestlers. I call them commercial wrestlers. They're nothing apart from just looking big. And they have all these names. They have all these names. Undertaker. The Rock. Well, you think I live in this world? Well, you expect me to live in another world? If I live in this world, I need to know the world I live in. And then what sort of a individual am I? So Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he's a wrestler. So the governor, the minister, whoever set up a competition, he says, anyone that can pin my wrestler down, I'll give him a reward of so many dirhams. So people are coming. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, he's an expert wrestler. People are finding it difficult. They can't pin him. Then this old, weak-looking man, scrawny, comes and says, I'll do it. People start laughing at him and say, who is this? Well, you know, they are wrestlers and tough people that have come and they haven't been able to do it. Who is this? What is he going to do? Now listen very carefully to this incident. There is a turning point in everyone's life. There is a moment when this individual is impacted when they impact, there's a change that occurs. So Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayh, so this old man comes up and he says, I'm going to do this. So everybody's laughing at him and say, okay, come on, let's see what you can do. When he gets in the ring with Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, and you see, the trouble with you people is now you're thinking about the rings with the ropes. And see, you're guilty, all of you. The rings in those days were different. See, indoctrination. I can read their minds. So he gets in the ring and then he comes close to Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi and he says to Junaid Baghdadi, he says, look, you know, I'm in a very dire situation and I seriously need this money to help my family because of the situation that I'm in. And I am a Sayyid, I am from the family of the Prophet. So Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, he had respect in his heart. He understood, he knew. So he said to the old man, he said, look, okay, you know what, if you pin me down, it's going to look a little fishy. They'll know that, you know, this is a setup. So what I'm going to do is we're going to try and make it look like a fair fight and then allow you to pin me down. And so this is what they did. And so today's, whatever you guys love watching, it's all fake and made up and planned beforehand. And there's a narrative they follow, like the Jews do, like them Zionists. They have a narrative, a false narrative. There's a Hamas base in the Shifa hospital. So let's besiege the hospital and bomb the hospital and destroy it and completely and wipe it off the face of the earth. This is a narrative they have, and everybody falls for it. Who falls for it? The fools. The who? The fools. How many fools watch this wrestling? Now I'm going on to this subject. How many fools watch this wrestling? Even knowing the fact that it's all, you know, it's all choreographed. That's the word. It's all choreographed. So anyway, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi and this old man, they planned it. So there's a little bit of a tussle going on. Eventually, the old man, he pins Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi. Everyone is surprised. He gets the prize money and he's gone. It doesn't finish here. Now, obviously, such a man like Junayn Baghdadi, he must have had his fair amount of, oh, look, you're supposed to be big and you're supposed to be tough and you're supposed to be the champion, and what happened? And old scrawny man, he pinned you. But he wasn't bothered. Why? Because he did it for a reason. There was an element of sincerity in his action. There was an element of respect and honor for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what I'm saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sensitive. When it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sensitive. So, Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi goes home, he goes to sleep. At night, when he goes to sleep, he sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, you've helped out a member of my family today. And so you have been gifted with wilayat. And then from that time on, when Hazrat Junayd, then he became a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he dedicated himself to tasawuf. And of course, he became a murid of Hazrat Shaykh Abu Abdullah Undulusi rahmatullahi alayhi. I was talking about Hazrat Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi and Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi, obviously they were murids of Hazrat Shaykh Abu Abdullah Undulusi rahmatullahi alayhi. So Shaykh Abu Abdullah Undulusi rahmatullahi alayhi, now in those days they used to travel, and I think a few days ago I mentioned Hazrat Qureshi rahmatullahi alayhi, Fazal al-Qureshi rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to travel from one place to another doing tabligh of taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there used to be murids that would accompany him. Why did they accompany him? Not because the sheikh said, come, let me show everybody what sort of entourage I have. Nah. The murids would follow because they wanted the islah done. Because they wanted to learn the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they wanted to experience the sweetness in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why they did it. Otherwise, these mashayikh are absolutely not bothered. Anyone follows them, don't follow them. They follow them, alhamdulillah. They make it their job to do their duty of correcting them and teaching them. So, Shaykh Abu Abdullah Undulusi rahmatullah alayhi and quite a few of the murids, they're traveling. And on their travel, they come to a place. This place where there are Christians, there are churches, there are synagogues, there are places of worship with idols, and so on. And as I mentioned, from this point, Hazrat Shibli rahmatullah alayhi narrates this himself. Sheikh Muhammad Sulaiman Jazuli rahmatullah alayhi, he's a great North African sheikh, and he was on a journey like that with a group of his murids, and they came to a place where when they needed to do their wudu to perform salah. And so in their travel they came to this place, a village, and they were looking for water. They found a well, but there was no rope in the well to extract the water from the well. I'm just giving you this example because, you know, we're talking about how they used to travel before. Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Murshid Alam Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to say, वैसे तो प्यासा कुएं के पास जाता है, मगर यहाँ कुआं प्यासे के पास आ रहा है. He used to say that the thirsty goes to the well. The thirsty goes to the well. But here the well is coming to the thirsty. And when Hazrat would say that, it would, well, me personally, it would make me feel, oh, you bad man. You've made Hazrat come all this way just for you. I used to feel that, and this was a while back, many years ago. But there are certain things I remember absolutely, and they etched into my memory. I will never forget them. So they come to this place, they're looking, and there's no rope in the well. So there's some girls playing. So Sheikh goes up to one of the girls and says, you know, is there some way of extracting the water? So there is nothing of that nature. So the girl comes to the well and she spits into the well and the water comes all the way to the top of its own accord. And they use the water. And then they perform the salah, which they needed to do. Then the sheikh goes back to the girl, finds out which house she's from, knocks on the door. How did you do that? How did you manage that? She says, you know, you're such a great sheikh. You should know these things. So Imam Jazuli Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says, you know, tell me. The girl says, I can't tell you. And she's only 10, 11 years old. Anyway, eventually he convinces her and she says, this is the power of a durood that I recite. So tell me. She tells him. Then Imam Jazuli Rahmatullah, he incorporated that durood which this young girl taught him in a book that is known as Dala'ilul Khairat. It's a book collection of durood of the Prophet ﷺ, which the Imam wrote then. So Sheikh Abu Abdullah Andalusi Rahmatullah Alayhi is traveling with a group of his followers, murids, disciples, and they come to this place. And it has churches, has synagogues, has places of worship that have idols in them, and so on. And they come through this village settlement and they go through the streets looking again for some water. They needed some water and they come to the edge of this village and they see there's a well there and there are some girls that are extracting water from there. Subhanallah. I'm going to stop here now. We'll continue, inshallah, with the help of Allah tomorrow. Inshallah. What's tomorrow? Monday. In all these instances, what do you learn? There is an element of sensitivity on the smallest thing, at a micro level. And the point that I'm trying to make and have been trying to make over these you're going to recalibrate yourself so that you have your sensitivity increases. And when your sensitivity increases, you will understand how to maintain this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Including myself, of course. When I say you, I don't mean just you. I'm including myself in that. But unfortunately, the English language is a little limited in its expression. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from all that has been said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His help, with His karam, with His mercy, with His grace, allow us to improve in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
الله ولي الذين آمنوا.
الله ولي الذين آمنوا. الله ولي الذين آمنوا. الله ولي الذين آمنوا. الله
سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
Close your eyes, focus upon your heart, contemplate the mercy coming down upon the heart. And out of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this mercy, the heart is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. صلى الله عليه وسلم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.